My sermon this morning entitled, A New and Better Priest. In 1981, the music industry was dramatically changed when MTV went on air for the first time. Many of the younger generations may not know that originally MTV was a television station that only played music videos. 24 hours a day, they played music videos. They had no other programming. What I expect many people here do not know is that the very first video that played on the station was somewhat of a prediction of the change that would occur in the music industry as a result of 24-hour a day, around-the-clock music videos playing on MTV. That first song that aired was called Video Killed the Radio Star. Some of you know that clearly. It was a song by the Buggles, and it was a song that was really lamenting the changes that would occur and had been occurring with the advent of new technology. The lyrics from these verses indicate that a change had come, and it was difficult for some people. Listen to the words from one verse. In my mind and in my car, we can't rewind, we've gone too far. Pictures came and broke your heart, put the blame on VCR. The powerful visual media of television and video recording devices and now phones and computers ensured a fundamental change for professional musicians in the industry that they worked in. The advancement in this visual media realm, like TVs and VCRs, resulted in the inevitable replacement of the less sophisticated and less advanced radio. Now, these ideas of progress and change and replacement and improvement are foundations for our passage this morning. The author of the letter to the Hebrews communicates how a new and better priesthood and a new and better priest have superseded the old priests and the old priesthood. And they've been superseded because they were insufficient. The author looks to Jesus as a new and better priest who has replaced an inferior priesthood. With those things in mind, let us go to God's word this morning. I encourage you to open up your Bible or turn on your devices so that you can read along as I read aloud. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 11 through 14. Now, if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek rather than one named after the order of Aaron? For when there is a change in the priesthood, there is necessarily a change in the law as well. For the one of whom these things are spoken belonged to another tribe, from which no one has ever served at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah. And in connection with that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. Now, if you recall, in chapters 5 and 6 of Hebrews, the author made great pains to explain to the Hebrew Christians that to turn their backs on Christ, to fall away from Jesus and the salvation he offered, would mean that they would receive no benefit from Christ's priestly work, a priestly work which forgave their sins, which gained them access to God, and which would ultimately result in their full and final salvation. Here in chapter 7, as we heard a couple weeks ago when Reese preached, in verses 1 through 10, the author demonstrated the superiority of Melchizedek and the superiority of the priesthood he represented over and above that of the Levites and their priesthood. And now in chapter 7, we'll see that the author begins to narrow his focus to indicate that, in fact, there was one particular Melchizedekian priest who is particularly superior to all the priests of Levi, to all the high priests of Aaron's line. And he had provided a superior to work to that of the Mosaic covenant. This new priest and the work that he accomplished were supremely sufficient, whereas the Levitical priesthood was not. And that's where we begin with point one this morning, the insufficiency of the Levitical priesthood. The insufficiency of the Levitical priesthood. Verse 11. The passage begins with a rhetorical question which strongly communicates the insufficiency of the Levitical priesthood. Now, if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek, rather than one named after the order of Aaron? Well, the answer to that question is clearly is that there wouldn't be a need for another priest. If the original priests were sufficient, if they could attain to this perfection, there would be no cause and no need for another priest. Now, as we consider this, it is important to understand what the author means by attaining perfection. Commentator George Guthrie notes that, quote, the word perfection here, as elsewhere in Hebrews, does not mean without flaws, but has to do with arriving at a desired end or reaching a goal, end quote. So what was the desired end of the Levitical priest? What was the goal of the Levitical priesthood? Well, we've seen in the earlier chapters of Hebrews, though you can find this throughout the entire Old Testament, that in the very least, the goal of the Levitical priesthood was the forgiveness of sins, was giving access to God for God's people, and ultimately full salvation. But what this verse substantiates is that the previous priests and the previous priesthood were insufficient. If these things were sufficient, a new priest would not be necessary. Ultimately, the Levitical priesthood did not truly and finally forgive sin. It did not truly and finally provide access to God. It did not finally and truly save those who adhered to it. It was insufficient. Something more was needed. God's people needed a new priest to arise, one who was like Melchizedek, not one who was like Aaron. Now that word arise is an interesting word. That word means to describe someone who arrives to assume an important position like that of a king or a prophet or a priest. And so how was it that Jesus, as the new priest, arose? How did he assume and come into that position of being the great high priest? Well, one of the ways he arose was through his incarnation. We read in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things. So one of the ways he arose is by becoming human, like we talked about in our catechism. However, if you're at all familiar with the New Testament, you know that arise speaks to something else. It speaks to Jesus' resurrection. Even as Peter spoke about it on the day of Pentecost when he preached and proclaimed about Jesus in Acts 2:24, saying God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. We can see the richness of God's word as the author of Hebrews was inspired by the Spirit to talk about Jesus arising as a priest. He arose through his incarnation. He rose through his resurrection. Now, his arising, his stepping into that position of high priest was necessary. There's a saying that necessity is the mother of invention. Necessity is the mother of invention, which means that new ways to do things are found when there is a strong and special need. If you need something particularly strongly, or you need something special, that necessity gives birth to invention, gives birth to a new way of doing things. Well, brothers and sisters, this morning, humanity had a strong and special need. to have their sins forgiven, to have a way to access their God who had created them. And they had a strong and special need for eternal salvation. And this was the case because the previous means of attaining those ends were insufficient. This gives us a moment to apply the text in this very first point this morning. And we can do that by asking ourselves if there are things that we look to for salvation that are insufficient for the task. What do I look to for salvation that is inadequate for the job of saving my soul? Brothers and sisters, I fear that many of you believe, though you might not state it this plainly, I fear that many of you believe that performing your Christian duties will save you. Understand, brothers and sisters, reading the Bible will not save you, even if you do it every day. Going to church religiously will not save you. Generously giving tithes and offerings, even sacrificially, is not going to save you. Understand this morning that all of these things are good and necessary for those who have come to faith in Christ, and yet they in themselves do not save you. Don't look to them for salvation. They are insufficient. To my younger brothers and sisters this morning, I fear many of you may believe that your parents' faith will save you. You think because you were born into a Christian family that you will be saved. Brothers and sisters, being born into a Christian family is a wonderful thing. It's a blessing from God, certainly. But you need to understand that that is not enough. It is insufficient for your salvation. To those of you who are here this morning and would acknowledge that you're not Christians, I also fear that you look to insufficient things to save you. I fear that many of you believe that your so-called good works will save you. You believe that at the end of the day, God will bring out the cosmic scales on which he will weigh your life. And you will find in that balance that through your generally kind deeds and your generally being honest and generally being hardworking and generally being a loving person, you think that will be enough and will be sufficient to merit your eternal life. Let us all understand this morning, all of these things are not sufficient. We must realize this truth. The book of Hebrews continues to pound this truth home. There is only one sufficient thing in regards to salvation. There is only one sufficient thing in regards to forgiveness of sins. There is only one sufficient thing in regards to access to God. There is only one sufficient thing in regards to salvation. That one thing is Jesus Christ. There is only one name under heaven by which men and women can be saved. That's the name of God's superior high priest, Jesus Christ the Son. His salvation accomplished through his life and death and resurrection and ascension, and the salvation that will come to its full fruition when he returns is for those who have repented of their sins and entrusted their lives to him, and that alone is sufficient. And make no mistake, it is sufficient for the forgiveness of sins, for access to God, and for salvation. But nothing else is. Brothers and sisters, younger people, children, unbelievers, do not look to things that are insufficient for the forgiveness of your sins, for access to God, and for salvation. It's only found in Christ. Now, as we have said, if the Levitical priesthood was sufficient, no new priest would be needed. But we also need to understand that the insufficiency of the Levitical priests also points to the insufficiency of the Mosaic Law. This is my second point, the insufficiency of the Mosaic Law, verse 12. The clear implication of verse 12 is that the law received under the Levitical dispensation is also insufficient. We read in verse 12, for when there is a change in the priesthood, there is necessarily a change in the law as well. So we see in this verse that there is an indissoluble relationship between priesthood and the law. They are inseparable. And since they are inseparable, a change in the one necessarily means a change in the other. Now, here's a helpful way, I think, to think about this. I want you to think about your cell phone. I want you to think of your cell phone as representing the Levitical priesthood. Now, what you need to know about that cell phone is that it has an operating system. An operating system is hugely important for a phone or for a computer in that an operating system manages everything that your phone does. It's in charge of your phone's memory and its processes, as well as all the other software and hardware in there. And that operating system is like the law. Now, suppose you have an Apple iPhone. All Apple iPhones run on the same operating system. It's called iOS. Now, let's say for your next birthday, you're getting a new phone. But you're not getting an Apple iPhone. Let's say for your new birthday, you are getting a Google Pixel 6 phone. Your Apple iPhone has been replaced by a Google Pixel 6 phone. Well, guess what? The new phone comes with a new operating system. It's called Android. And it doesn't matter how much you like the old operating system. Maybe you think it's the best. The new phone doesn't have that operating system. The Google phone comes with Android. And when the iPhone is removed, so is the iOS. And this is how it works with priests and law. The law is their operating system. But when the priests are changed, the operating system or the law goes with them. And it cannot be otherwise. A new priest means necessarily a new law. Paul makes this clear in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 23 through 26. He writes, "Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith." See, Paul makes clear what the author of Hebrews implies. The law has been replaced. The Levitical priesthood, the Aaronic high priest, and the Mosaic law go together. And if any of those things are replaced, they're all replaced. And as I use that word replace, not to be confusing in regards to the phone, I don't want to get into an argument about what phone is best. After first service, I already had people with Google Pixel 6s come and think I was on their side. Without getting into that argument, understand this. It's not just a replacement. The new priest and the new law and the new covenant has superseded the old. They're not just new, they're better. They're not just new, they're better. Now, this gives us opportunity to pause again to make application. And with all this talk of the new and the better priest, and the insufficiency of the older things, I want to make it clear that despite the fact that the author of Hebrews is indicating that the new priest and the new covenant are better, it doesn't mean that new things are always better than old things. It isn't always the case that newer is better. In fact, in regards to some things, newer isn't better, older is. Now, I make this point to explicitly encourage the seniors and the elderly in our congregation. I want you to know, and the staff want you to know, and the elders want you to know, and the younger generations want you to know that you are a better help to us because of your advanced age. We can't find something better if it's newer. We cherish And we are in great need of your life experience. Your greater experience due to your older age is something we cannot find in younger models. And your history of lived experiences, your record of following Jesus for decades, your perseverance through suffering, and your endurance to the end are all things that we desperately need to see in our lives and in the life of this church. Now, in the case of Jesus and the Levitical priest, yes, newer is better. The older things are insufficient. But in terms of wisdom gained through faithful living, and in terms of experience in the walk of faith, and in terms of living models who have stood the test of time, models that we can look up to and we can aspire to, us newer, younger believers are entirely insufficient. We need the old timers to show us how it's done. We need the classic models to be mentors for us. We need the elderly and we need you seniors, because in many, many ways, the newer, the younger are going to be insufficient. So those of you who are here today in your 60s, in your 70s, in your 80s, in your 90s, in so many ways, you are the very best that we have. So let me encourage you this morning to serve us by continuing to serve your Savior the way you have, because we desperately need you to do that. Let me move on to my third point this morning, the sufficiency of Jesus. We see this in verse 13 and 14. The Levitical priesthood, the old covenant, they were insufficient in regards to the forgiveness of sins, in regards to gaining access to God, in regards to eternal salvation. But there is a priest, Jesus, who is sufficient, and he has inaugurated a new covenant in which men and women can find forgiveness, can gain access to God, and can be saved. Verse 13, for the one of whom these things are spoken belonged to another tribe, from which no one has ever served at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah. And in connection with that, Moses said nothing about the priests. You see, in verse 11 and 12, we see that the priesthood and its laws were insufficient, and therefore they were replaced. Not just amended, they were replaced with something superior, with someone superior, with someone and something new. Verses 13 and verses 14 point to who that is and imply that he is sufficient. Because all priests came from the tribe of Levi. All high priests came from the line of Aaron. We read this in the Old Testament. You go to Numbers 18, read verses 1 and 2 and 6. So the Lord said to Aaron, you and your sons and your father's house with you shall bear iniquity connected with the sanctuary, and your sons with you shall bear iniquity connected with your priesthood. And with you bring your brothers also, the tribe of Levi, the tribe of your father, that they may join you and minister to you while you and your sons with you are before the tent of testimony. And behold, I have taken your brothers, the Levites, from among the people of Israel. They are a gift to you, given to the Lord, to do the service of the tent of meeting. Or Exodus 28, verse 1. Then bring near to you Aaron your brother and his sons with him from among the people of Israel to serve me as priests, Aaron and Aaron's son. So the proof that Jesus was a new priest is evidenced by the fact that he was not from the tribe of Levi. Only men from the tribe of Levi served at the altar. If there was a legitimate priest who ministered by sacrifice and he wasn't from the tribe of Levi, he must be a new priest. Now we see in Hebrews, Jesus is clearly a priest. Hebrews 4:14, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. So Jesus was a priest, but Jesus, as verse 14 indicates, comes from the tribe of Judah. So he must be a new kind of priest. The author even adds Moses' voice to this evidence. Moses said nothing about priests from the tribe of Judah. So if Jesus is a priest, as one who came from that tribe, he is a new kind of priest. He is a better priest. Jesus, as a priest, and in the priestly work that he accomplished, was and is sufficient. He and he alone is sufficient for the forgiveness of sins, for access to God, and for complete salvation to those who entrust their lives to him this morning. In light of that, I conclude this morning simply by reading from the book of Hebrews of the sufficiency of this Jesus Christ. In regards to sin, we read in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11 through 14, "And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." In regards to access to God, Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And in regards to full and final salvation, we read in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26 through 28, "But as it is, he, Jesus, has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him." Brothers and sisters, there is nothing else that is sufficient for the forgiveness of sins, for access to God, and for eternal life. Jesus alone is sufficient. Let us not look to anything else, but let us cast our gaze heavenward and look to Jesus, who in his role as high priest and through his high priestly work of redemption has won for us forgiveness of sins and access to God and life everlasting. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word this morning. I pray, Father God, that you, by your Spirit, would help us this morning. Help us to not look to insufficient things for our forgiveness or for our access to you or for eternal life. Help us, by your Spirit, to each and every one look to Christ. Father God, to put our faith and our trust in him, to believe in the work that he accomplished, wherein our sins can be forgiven, wherein we can have access to you, wherein we will finally and fully be saved. Help us in this, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.